This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842 or 855-75-CIVIC. Hey, good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good, Earl. How are you?
All right, man.
Boy, he sounds kind of rough. It's the day after the day after.
But the world is still here.
Yeah, the sun came up.
Well, but before people ask who is that goomer talking?
Who is that goomer?
Yeah, well, that's my co-host Sandy Williams, who has been, you know, with us every day this week. I'm happy about that as we talk about this election and outcome. And good morning to you, Sandy. How you doing, man?
I'm all right. Like I said, the day after the day after. Yeah, the clouds are clearing. It was a bright morning.
Well, you know, younger people have taken this harder, the outcome. I was talking with Calvin earlier, and before we get into all the things that we're going to be talking about, Calvin represents the young people who are involved in this. And so, Calvin, your thoughts, man, on the outcome of this election. I think it's really important that our community, our people who listen to this show, hear it from a young person's perspective on how you feel about the outcome of the election.
Well, to start, I'm both surprised and not surprised, somehow paradoxically. I'm frustrated. I feel like the Democratic Party and the Republican Party have had two different standards that they've had to uphold for the past 4 years, and the standard for the Republican Party is to just attack the Democratic Party, to not have a platform, and to lie. And apparently calling that out wasn't enough, and that frustrates me for the direction our country is headed in. I'm also frustrated with the Democratic Party. I think Joe Biden had a great presidency, but I think a lot of this could have been avoided if he would not have sought re-election.
Sandy,
well, those are good points. I mean, I think I'm not sure the older people are taking it any less hard, I mean, with more less concern than the young people. And it's clear that, however, this victory was broad, okay? And it wasn't necessarily, we were talking about it before the show, Earl, and you had some interesting numbers associated with the total vote, okay? Which suggested that not so many people, less people came out to vote, but more of those people who voted bought into sort of the anti-democratic vote. I would say that my takeaway from this thing is that the Republicans ran on an anti-liberal platform, an anti-democratic platform, had very little to say for themselves about what they stood for, and that prevailed. Okay, that was Trump's brand, which was not necessarily, I mean, building himself up with a bunch of hyperbole, but attacking the other side with also a bunch of hyperbole, and the Democrats weren't very good at branding themselves, and so they ended up, I think, being painted with the brand that Donald Trump gave them.
Tony says, not surprised he won. I'm surprised how he won. Every demographic moved his way, but college-educated women, they ran anti-elite.
Well, I mean, the question is, what is elite? I mean, why don't you talked about some numbers. What were the total vote count suggests that this was actually a smaller turnout. So it wasn't like people came running to the polls to vote in numbers that had never been realized before, just the opposite.
You know, Sandy, I decided to look at the numbers. 15 million less Americans voted this time around. 15 million less.
15 million fewer than voted in 2020. Right.
In 2020, Donald Trump got 74,222,958 votes. In 2020, Joe Biden got 81 million votes. In 2024, Donald Trump got 71 million, 3 million less votes. And Kamala Harris got 67 million.
Right.
So she got 67 million, 14 million less votes than Joe Biden. The question becomes, where did they go, Sandy?
Well, where they didn't go was to the polling booth, and the question is why, okay? And it obviously had a lot to do with a distaste for the selection process that they were facing and a lack of excitement about going to the polls, and those votes were lost by Democrats. I mean, if you do the numbers, 15-plus million fewer voted, Trump was about under 2 million less.
Right.
And the rest of the people who didn't vote Democratic. So, you know, I think the Democrats need to do a lot of self-study on that. What is it that they aren't able to persuade? What is it about themselves that leaves them with a brand that isn't able to? Because I think Harris ran a perfectly good campaign and she was a very viable candidate. It was the Democratic brand that failed. And so I think that's the analysis and the lessons learned from this thing is that instead of finding an excuse, like, for instance, inflation, and, you know, that she couldn't overcome the inflation and that was the big thorn in the side of folks that caused them to move the other direction. I think if that's the lesson learned from this, that'll be a mistake for the Democrats, because I think what's happened is that they've lost their capacity to deal directly with Tom, Dick, and Mary about the issues that Tom, Dick, and Mary have with that budget, for instance. And therefore, it was undoubtedly Tom, Dick, and Mary of sorts who didn't show up and vote.
You know, Sandy, I think the numbers bear out for those who say, well, you know, Donald Trump was able to himself move all these people towards him because, again, he got less than he did the last time.
Right.
So it's not that the people decided that we're all going to vote for Donald Trump and the Republicans and what they represent. That didn't occur.
No,
the fact that, again, those who had voted Democrat before set this out. We need to ask the question, Sandy. You said clearly a couple of the reasons is the economy. The fact that people are struggling more so now than they have in the past. And so Democrats are being held accountable for that.
Well, I mean, you know, during the Trump administration, 2016 to 2020, is when I started talking about Tom, Dick, and Mary living paycheck to paycheck and how it was that the stock market wasn't the barometer or the thermometer that people ought to be looking at to see whether prosperity was being realized by Americans, okay? And I think one of the reasons Trump didn't get reelected was the fact that Tom, Dick, and Mary, the middle-class America that lives paycheck to paycheck, didn't appreciate what he described as his booming economy, okay? So that even as the incumbent, he didn't get reelected because there was a booming economy, because the booming economy wasn't being shared within the middle class and by the broad numbers of people who vote. So he lost for maybe that same reason in 2020. But I think that there were further reasons. I think some of the social issues, the Democrats have a very big tent. And it's a very worthy one. And the Democrats embrace every worthy issue, I think, and because the tent is big, they have represented within the tent all kinds of social issues that they embrace fully. But that makes them vulnerable then to being, you know, being attacked for being woke. You know, the whole woke movement was, I think, designed to capture the Americans who were made, who were put in outside their comfort zone by some of these issues that were being embraced and promoted by Democrats. And, you know, you could see it in the legislation about who can use what toilet and the totally disproportionate discussion about transgender and gender phobia, and the focus on that, and the focus on that in ads, the embrace to the extent of even wanting to have people worry about what pronouns they use, I think became a subject of discomfort for a broad range of people that allowed Trump to brand the Democrats in ways that they weren't able to offset.
You know, Sandy, this is going to be, I think, one of our better shows, because we're going to touch, put our fingers on some conversations that may make people uncomfortable. But when you get, you know, 14 million less votes, which is what the Democrats got,
right,
you better take a look at everything, and whether it makes you uncomfortable or not. And I would venture to say that this conversation that we're going to have this morning, as always, will include you, the listening audience. We can't do without you. Tony, again, elite, could be anyone Trump wanted them to be. That's why it worked. It wasn't a defined group. It was an idea.
Well, the elite has, you know, the populist movements are always run against the elite. And the elite is an undefined enemy. It's the one you can imagine as part of the movement. Much like making America great again isn't a defined objective. It's whatever you can imagine that is the golden place that you want to live. And, you know, the fact is that the discussion today on Wall Street and the reaction of Wall Street yesterday included a rapid increase in yields on long-term debt because they're expecting inflation. They're expecting some hardship. Yes, the market, stock market went up, but there's a lot of things in those tea leaves to read.
There's no question. I was listening to conservative talk this morning, as I do every morning, and the very same people who were talking about how great things are going to be if Donald Trump gets to be president, were saying, hey, there's going to be some, Trump is going to cause inflation, and there's going to be some pain.
Trumpflation. Well, yes, we'll talk about that afterwards.
Yeah. Right. They didn't say that prior to the election, and now here it is a day later, and now they're admitting that there's going to be pain. 855-752-4842. Guys, hang on. We'll come to you. It's Thursday, and it's Thursdays with Sandy Williams, my co-host.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. You know, it's Thursday, and my co-host Sandy Williams, I'm glad he's here, and so we're going to go.
Well, let, Before the break, we were talking about the warning that was on conservative radio this morning about it is that the new administration, the Trump administration, might bring us Trumpflation. And, you know, we should also listen to Elon Musk, who was for the last week or week and a half saying, hey, we've got some great things we're going to do to the economy. But incidentally, there's going to be hardship in the middle class for us to bear as the price to pay for these revolutionary changes we're going to make. Well, you know, the rich never have hardship. It's the hardship that's experienced is always in the middle class. And what he's talking about, obviously, is the inflation and possible stagflation that results from high tariffs, recompartmentalizing the world, creating potentially a worldwide recession as the result of the impact of some of the policies being announced, and the inflation that would occur from not just broad tariffs, but also a tax reduction that isn't otherwise offset, as well as policies of the Federal Reserve.
I'm so glad you reminded me of that, because that's exactly what this Republican talk show host, who all throughout the campaign was talking about the great things Donald Trump, and then he says, well, really, we got to prepare ourselves because there's going to be inflationary issues, the fact that the tax cuts, the amount of money that's going to, you know, flow in, the very things you had been talking about. They're warning the very people who voted for them, who said we've been facing hardships.
Yeah, it's managing. It's called managing expectations. Get ready. You don't blame Donald Trump. There's lots of good reasons for this, but there's going to be hardship. And the bond market yesterday recognized this as well, because the yields on long-term bonds, meaning that the bet that Wall Street was making is that interest rates are going to go up in the future as the result of a Trump administration. So, you know, there's people with money in the game who are betting on the very same thing.
And the Federal Reserve is saying that they're saying that the Federal Reserve may now not drop the interest rates anymore, because Trump is now the president, and they're fearful that inflation is going to come back.
Well, yeah, I think they are likely to drop it today or whenever they're meeting shortly and are predicted to drop it. But the whole issue is going to be the extent to which Donald Trump tries to change the levers in Washington and make the Federal Reserve operate at the whim of the president. Because if that happens, we won't have the Federal Reserve there to put the brakes on to keep the inflation from moving from controllable inflation to runaway inflation. And so, you know, it was the Federal Reserve that orchestrated this soft landing that we just had. And they did it very successfully. But they did it subject to all the criticism that the politicians would provide for high interest rates in a temporary time period.
Let's go to Wayne from Eau Claire. Good morning to you, Wayne. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Well, you were talking about inflation, and I think the biggest cause of the inflation has been all the spending that was done mostly for the COVID relief and so on. And we simply cannot continue to spend dollars we don't have, because we're making them, pulling it, you know, we're printing money without anything to back it. And that is... That people wonder why they have inflation. Well, it's as simple as watering down the soup. You don't have any more soup. You just have more water when you create money without anything to back it. And that's a big problem here, is that the Democrats seem to think that they can spend money. And I would argue they spend money to buy votes.
Well, let me just interrupt you on one thing, just to do fact checking. I can get you the numbers, but I can demonstrate to you that the Republican presidents have run bigger deficits than the Democratic presidents have for the last 40 years, and the total isn't even close. So it isn't, you know, don't look to the Republicans to be the ones that will be more responsible with respect to running lower deficits. They run larger deficits. And, you know, it was during the Iraq War in the early 2000s that George Bush II was and John McCain called him on it, said, look, you're going to reduce taxes in the midst of a war. This is the very first time in American history that anybody's ever done that. And they did it. And they moved from the surpluses of William Clinton's period to massive deficits. And the fact is that, you know, the culprits in Washington are bipartisan with respect to fiscal discipline. But if you want to pin the tail on a donkey, you better pin it on an elephant.
Well, both parties are guilty of that. There's no argument there.
I'm just sorry, sir, but you wanted to describe the Democrat. You were trying to make it a partisan issue. I'm simply saying this is a bipartisan issue. But if you want to pin the tail on a culprit, it better be an elephant.
Well, I think I guess in recent history, we're speaking of the COVID and the COVID relief that. Was so much of that necessary?
Well, that was necessary.
The question of whether it was necessary or not. I don't know what the deficits would have been if the recession would have occurred that the expenditures were made to avoid. But you know, recessions result in deficits as well.
Thank you very much for the call, sir. Guys, hang on. 855-752-4842. You know, it's Thursday, and my co-host Sandy Williams is here. We'll be right back.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
They weren't necessarily.
The Eye of the Tiger.
Yep.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. It's Thursday, and my co-host Sandy Williams is here. And Sandy, the music.
Well, it's sort of about, this music today is about being indomitable.
And, okay.
Keep at it.
All right. Yeah. So here's a text message before we go to the phone lines. I'm feeling that trying to make sense out of nonsense is senseless. If less people came out to vote, I conclude people are exhausted by the double standards, the lies and games played by our leaders. The constant beating up of American people by the elite and pessimism of the average citizen all equals less turnout. Let's go to Mike from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Mike. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Good morning. What a beautiful morning, by the way.
All of them are beautiful, Mike.
Yeah. that text you just read was spot on. America is wore out. This has been going on. This GOP messaging has been going on for decades. It's matured. It has grown roots. It has metastasized across our nation. For sure. And the interesting thing, a couple points real quick. You know, this RFK Musk being in charge of vital parts of the U.S. economy, that we heard over the last few days. My question is, why didn't we hear about that a year ago or 6 months ago? So we could vet that. We could talk about that. I mean, to put a couple parts of our economy in the hands of a couple people,
doesn't make any sense. It's anti democracy. It doesn't make sense. You know, that's something Congress is supposed to do. You know, so again, the messaging, we have lost the messaging battle. You know, even the caller before the break, you know, was talking about, you know, the left is responsible for the debt and everything else, when again, the facts, when confronted, reveals a different reality. So what we've lost the messaging because we didn't know how to respond to the fire hose volume of misinformation that was being shot out to the from the media to we the people nonstop. And if we can't bring truth to power as the core, the foundation of our messaging, all we're going to do is spin around in circles. This is so important, but yet, you know, the economic pressures that most people are feeling are due to trickle-down policies. The economy is rocking. It's just not being divvied up correctly. When did you see any conversations or Steve Bernanke or whatever his name is, charts on true economics in impact of trickle-down? We just need the corporates and the elites to pay their fair share in most of our economic domestic economic troubles go away.
Hey, Mike, I can't disagree with anything you had to say. Thank you very much for the call.
Well, my reaction is that the problem with Democratic messaging is that it's so broad with so many messages, and quite frankly, I think to their credit, it's been premised on truth, and so that it's not capable of being imagined or simply using broad brush hyperbole. And so is that sort of tying themselves one arm behind their back when the opposition is unfettered by truth and also has messaging which is not anything informative to the American public, but rather is combative. So, I mean, the messaging from the Republican Party, they keep secret their main policies, meaning tax reductions. And what they do is they have an attack on the liberal, on the elite. I mean, it has resulted in a populist movement, and the genie's out of the bottle with respect to the populist movement. The question is, how long can it endure when the movement will not be rewarded? Okay, the people are not going to be rewarded by the results of the populist movement because the plans for the Trump White House are not designed to reward the people.
Let's go to Chad from Greenfield. Good morning to you, Chad. You say what?
How's it going, guys? Great day today. Beautiful day today. I got two questions for you guys I'd really like your answers on. But first of all, I don't think Calvin really represents all the youth. I know 10 people that just were able to vote for the first time. They all voted for President Trump. They're ecstatic. And playing Don't Stop Believing is great because I never stopped believing in President Trump. I called on Election Day. I called the blowout. I called the gambling. You guys kind of laughed at me, dismissed it, but it came true. But my two questions are, number one, and you guys hit on it in the beginning, you know, Joe Biden allegedly got 81 million votes. Kamala Harris just under 68 million right now. How could she lose 13 million votes? Either Joe Biden, as people speculated, never did get the 81 million votes, or Kamala Harris is just a terrible...
Well, Chad, look, man, that's ridiculous, man.
Well, that's a form of deductive logic, but it isn't consistent with facts, right? So there was a great deal of inquiry about the votes. The turnout was a record turnout, and the vote fluctuation is dramatic. In the off years, for instance, the number for 2022, the number of votes in 2022 was materially less.
Right.
And the vote count has been materially different depending on the enthusiasm about the campaigns. I believe that the 2016 turnout total was less than the 2008 turnout that elected Barack Obama. I mean, I'm just saying,
yes,
you can't just take numbers and decide that it should have been the same. And that was kind of the rationale Donald Trump provided, which was, wait, how can there be that many more votes? Well, it turns out there were.
But I would also say to Chad, to say that Kamala Harris had something to do with it, and the fact that Donald Trump and people bought into Donald Trump, again, he got less votes than he got 4 years ago. So let's stop talking like all these people switched over to Donald Trump. That's not the case. He was able to carry the people who supported him 4 years ago. He didn't get any additional or new voters.
Well, no, I do think the Democrats have, because I think the turnout was materially less. I think we'll find out that the headcount turnouts in the states that mattered, the battleground states, was not down as much as it was nationally. And so I think the lessons learned from the Democrats needs to include the fact that Donald Trump did get a higher percentage in terms of the voters of younger voters, male voters, black and brown voters.
But he also lost more suburban white voters,
yes,
than he had in the past, because his final numbers were less than what he had, you know, 4 years prior. So, Chad, you know, your synopsis is that all of these people decided that Donald Trump and Republican politics is the way to go. That's what you're basically saying, right?
Well, I have one more question, but I mean, obviously the numbers are messed up. So either Kamala is a terrible candidate. She did not improve in one county in the whole country. She
had nothing nothing to do with her.
Well, I'm not sure that you can testify about the whole country. You probably were listening to the show. She didn't do better in counties in Milwaukee, in Wisconsin, and that might be true.
And a lot of this had to do with Democrats and people who voted Democrat who didn't vote this time around. A lot of it had to do with what's going on in Gaza, the war. Many people chose not to vote for that reason. And as Sandy stated earlier, you know, there were people who had other reasons that they didn't vote. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Tom from L.A. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Can we please talk about the real elephant in the room?
What is that, Tom?
Money in politics.
Well, you're not going to, Tom, you're not going to get that out.
If we keep saying we're not going to get it out, we're not going to.
Okay, well, Tom, how do you get it out?
You get a groundswell of people start realizing that the problem is money in politics. People realize that there are Supreme Court cases that made it for legal bribery in this country.
Hey, Tom. There's no question that this election was $16 billion. $16 billion. There are ten different individuals who contributed $600 million or more. There's no question that money in politics is an issue on both sides of the equation. Well, in the state of Wisconsin, Democrats outspent Republicans 2-1.
Well, and I'm sure they outspent them nationally, too. I mean, I think there are two ways to look at the money in politics. I think the lethargy and the indifference of the public has a lot to do with money in politics, because politicians are no longer delivering to Tom, Dick, and Mary what they want and need, because politicians are responsive to big money and they aren't being responsive to Tom, Dick, and Mary. So I definitely agree with Tom in that regard, that money in politics has sapped
the
political
process. But I don't
disagree with that either. But if you look at the presidential campaign, more money was spent on Democrats than Republicans, and it didn't prevail. And so, you know, there's lessons to be learned here. There is a broad lesson that we all ought to learn, though, and that is that we need to figure out a way to try and move money out of being central to Washington, D.C.
Well, but to say that money in politics, as if we're not all aware of that, we're aware of those things. Changing it is more than a notion. It's there. The American people have certain powers and other powers they don't have. And so politicians on both sides of the equation understand the power of that money. And so do lobbyists. And so the American people, for the most part, you know, aren't really as aware as they should be about the power they may possess to change it. But it's more than a notion to make it happen. Go ahead, Tom.
Earl, all I'm saying is that people, for some reason, are walking around talking about trans issues, talking about every commercial that was on the TV, which was about dividing and conquering the majority of the public. And there's one thing, and I don't care, I'm talking to the Democrats also. Everyone needs to get the money out of politics, because you know what? If I was running for office, I'd say, yeah, I'm taking big money. But next day I would be saying, we here in Congress need to get all this money out of politics. You can't just, Democrats can't give up all the money because of the fact that if they do, they'll lose. So therefore, they're not going to give it up. But you know what? Citizens United, when that came into play, and I know most people in America don't know what Citizens United is. But Citizens United, when that came into play, put money on steroids. We have now Elon Musk. We now have Ulines. We now have Widow Hendricks. We now have...
Hey, Tom, I just talked about 10 different individuals, donors, who contributed over $600 million, 7% of the overall amount of money that came in. There's no question that money in politics is a major issue. No.
Change until that happens, because right now we have an oligarchical government moving to an authoritarian dictatorship. The people that are in control now are the oligarchs, and they've actually used their money to make people believe that everybody is the enemy, that is Dick, Mary, and Tom.
All right. Tom, thank you very much for the call. 855-752-4842. You can join the conversation. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. It's Thursday, and Sandy Williams is here. Let's go right back to the phone lines. Let's go to Gary from Sussex. Good morning to you, Gary. You say what?
Well, Earl, did you remember, was that about a week ago, that I said that Donald Trump was going to end up winning in a landslide, and you laughed at me. Do you remember that?
Okay, so
is this an I told you so, Carl?
No, I hate people that told you so.
Well, I'm there you go.
They're saying, no, Sandy, you took it wrong. I don't like people like that. But the point that I'm making is that, and how I look at it as a mega conservative, when people call my guy, Donald Trump, a dictator, Hitler. That what I hear is that they're calling me and every other MAGA Hitler and Nazis and everything else. And that just ticked us all off. Now, as far as
that, the
messaging didn't work, all right, obviously, in terms of the Democratic messaging. The warnings about, I think the warnings about what Donald Trump was proposing might well be apropos, whether it constitutes Hitler or not. The policies that he's proposing are very controversial, and the proof will be in the pudding, Gary. I'll be interested in if he proceeds with the things that it looks like he might proceed with. I'll be very interested in the conversation with you 2 years from now as to how you feel about it, okay? But, I guess the question about how to characterize what it is that's being proposed, there's no question that what is being proposed is a far more authoritarian form of American government.
You know, Gary, when you talk about it tick you guys off, and so you won because you were ticked off. No, you won because Donald Trump was able to just about return the people who supported him in 2020, and Democrats weren't able to do the same. So, you know, that was at the root of it.
One of your other callers said that he didn't win any counties. Well, I was watching MSNBC last night, and they showed a map. There wasn't one county in the entire United States that she gained from points and
but Gary, none of that. Again, it's the fact that 14 million less people came out to vote. They didn't. The Donald Trump's numbers were down as well, Gary. He didn't. You know, less people came out to vote, man.
Well, look, but there's no question that based on the people who did come out to vote, Donald Trump did very well, okay? And, you know, that's the fact.
He did less than what he did 4 years ago.
I know. But in terms of the relative vote, he did well. And the Democrats will do well to observe the outcome and go through a lessons learned process, because there are lessons to be learned, because the outcome of the race was that the Democrats lost.
Right.
They lost the national plurality, and they lost across the board in all of the important states and many of the less important states. And so, you know, the trend wasn't good. Now, the question is, what was the trend? And much of that trend involved lethargy and on the part of the Democratic votes, okay? And why didn't they come out? And what was it about the messaging they were hearing and the issues they were using as the basis for determining whether they come out or not?
It's like I have always told you guys, is you're not going to win an election because you hate the other guy that bad. You got to get the people to vote.
Well, Gary, it wasn't that simplistic, my friend.
Well, let me just say this, though, Gary, if you're going to analyze messaging, Donald Trump's messaging was not a positive message. Donald Trump's messaging was 100%, but it was 100% negative about the people he was running against. He wasn't necessarily constantly vilifying the individual, although he definitely vilified Harris in every way, low IQ, all kinds of very negative things. But the message was 100% vilifying liberals, okay? Can you tell me other than tariffs and a tax reduction, what it is that Donald Trump talked about repeatedly on the campaign trail, that were the policies that he was going to implement that were the ones that persuaded the American public?
Yeah.
No.
I would probably say, no. Drill, 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 baby.
Well, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
We've drilled more now, right now, than we've ever done in the history of our country.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much for the call. 855-752-4842. It's Thursday, and my co-host Sandy Williams is here. Hang on, guys.
the national news cycle never stops. But it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.